Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here it is on a Wednesday. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. We are absolutely packed today on a Wednesday. Great show planned. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. Good morning.
Good morning. We'll get to the Carson Wentz story with Joy in a little bit in the Herdline news. Carson Wentz out for the year. He was hurt anyway. Philadelphia is not had their act together all season. We'll get to that. I don't think it's going to affect anything. Carson Wentz, like Andrew Luck, is amazing. Kind of has a lost season. He'll be back and be great. But this, to me, is the story of the day. I don't believe in coincidences. Things happen for a reason. Kevin Durant, for the second time in a couple of weeks, has taken a shot at LeBron James. Remember a couple of weeks ago when he said playing with LeBron is toxic? It's never been toxic playing with LeBron. Is getting to the finals toxic? Because LeBron's been to 8 straight finals. Is that toxic? And then yesterday, Kevin Durant talks about the greatest players of all time. He mentions Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving you put in with Kobe and Michael. No mention of LeBron. He puts in Kyrie, who dumped LeBron. Now, come on now. Bro, you can't name the 5 great restaurants in America and then just throw Applebee's in there and think I'm going to not notice it. You got an agenda. You got a bias. Okay, you can't start talking about the great quarterbacks of all time and say Brady and Montana and Elway and Marino and Aikman and Jimmy Garoppolo. What? Do you owe him a favor? What? Kevin Durant, you did this for a reason. Because you know the MJ thing kind of gets in LeBron's head, and Kyrie ticked LeBron off, and a lot of people, Kobe fans, don't like LeBron. You did this for a reason. This was not a coincidence. You just can't throw Kyrie Irving into your all-time great players and want me to believe it was just organic and you didn't think about it. I mean, that reference is laughable. The Celtics almost won the East last year after Kyrie Irving got hurt. What happens when LeBron leaves teams? By the way, Kyrie Irving, before LeBron got to Cleveland, was winning 30 games a year, was constantly hurt, and had a reputation as an uncoachable diva. You can't throw Kyrie Irving into your ad-libbed greatest players of all time, and we all know why you're doing this. We know, Kevin Durant, why you're doing this. Because you thought, as the number 2 player in the world, when you went to Golden State and started winning titles, that would elevate you over LeBron. And it hasn't. LeBron still is the lead story on my show and Skip show and any debate show in America that talks NBA. LeBron's still the king. And you're just really talented. That's your identity. You're not even the most important guy in your own team. We know that through statistics, wins and losses, and analytics. When Steph's gone, Warriors are average. When you're gone, they're still great. They won 73 games, set a record without you. They won a championship without you. You could leave tomorrow, they'd put in Boogie Cousins. I'd have Steph, Clay, Draymond, Boogie Cousins. They'd still win the NBA championship. And this bothers Kevin Durant. He's a very sensitive guy, and he thought going to Golden State would elevate him above LeBron, and it hasn't. And he's bothered that he still always has to watch these shows and watch the NBA, and everybody talks about LeBron more than KD. Listen, I've said this for years. Magic and Bird saved the NBA. MJ made it global, and LeBron made it mobile. When you left teams years ago, you were considered disloyal, weak. Now, if you don't go to a better team, you're a money grabber. Winning doesn't matter. You're a diva. You're weak. You're afraid. Kevin Durant doesn't leave Oklahoma City unless LeBron left first for Miami and took all the arrows and took all the heat. LeBron's always going to be a bigger deal than Kevin Durant. Kevin's chasing ghosts. Magic Bird saved it. Michael made it global. And LeBron made the league mobile. And what really bothers Kevin Durant is that his number one adversary, LeBron, has a much greater legacy. And his teammate, Steph Curry, has a much greater impact as well. LeBron made the league mobile, and Steph changed the way we play it. And Kevin Durant, he's just really talented. There's nothing wrong with that. He is super talented. But we know a couple of things about Durant. One of them being, he's sensitive. He got rabbit ears. He and Aaron Rodgers hear everything. The difference is, Aaron denies he hears everything. Kevin Durant's pretty upfront about hearing everything. But when LeBron moved to the Lakers, he once again is the most talked about player in the league. And it drives Durant nuts. He'll never be better than LeBron. He'll never be as relevant as LeBron. He'll never be talked about like LeBron. LeBron leaves teams, they disintegrate. Kevin Durant left Oklahoma City. They're the second best team in the West right now. Golden State, one before him. If he left, they'd put Boogie in. They'd win after him. It's bothering him. First, LeBron was toxic. Now you're mentioning great players, and you're putting Kyrie in there? Come on, Kevin. It bothers you. Just admit it. Let me shift to football. I should send a check to the Pittsburgh Steelers every year, a big check, because they fill like 5-6 segments a week. ESPN once had to do a year-long investigation into New England to get dirt. Pittsburgh gives you dirt about twice a week. They did it again yesterday. When New England lost to Miami over the weekend, and it was kind of like controversial, it was embarrassing. Gronk took the heat, my fault. Brady took the heat, my fault. Belichick took the heat, my fault. Story died. For the third time in about 4 weeks, the Pittsburgh Steelers, it is now Wednesday, are talking about a previous game, lost to Oakland, as the Patriot game is now coming up in a few days. Mike Tomlin yesterday, I swear to God I should pay the Steelers for all the segments they give me. I don't even have to work for them. I just wake up and they give me another story. Mike Tomlin, paying attention in the rearview mirror to the game they just lost, was asked about Big Ben being healthy and not playing, and he got into medical equipment.
Because of the lack of information, we thought that the best thing to do, the most prudent thing to do, would to be only to make Ben available in an emergency-like situation was exactly what we did in Cincinnati several years ago. The x-ray was not clearly readable.
Can you clarify when you said after the game that you could have brought Ben back a few series earlier, but you said today that you're only going to use him in emergency situations? Is that saying he was cleared a few series earlier and you decided only to use him in emergency situations?
Again, guys, you know, we didn't have a lot of information, so dialogue was a part of the discussion. But obviously, this thing has had legs and it has grown, and we want to minimize the senseless distractions. So I'm being very transparent with you in terms of what transpired, how, and why.
It's Wednesday. The game was 3 days ago. Tim Benz, columnist in Pittsburgh, said, I walked into Mike Tomlin's news conference seeking clarity. For the most part, I walked out confused. You're still, for about the fourth time this year, talking about a game that's over and not focusing in on the biggest game of the year. Football's hard. Distractions make it harder. The Steelers once again lead the NFL in distractions. I should give Big Ben and Mike Tomlin producer credits for this show. Does Pittsburgh realize that if they lose this weekend in New England, and they will, they'll be 7-6-1 and probably not in first place and facing the Saints in New Orleans next? It's Wednesday. Bill Belichick was once asked about a medical situation. Here's how he handled it.
I'm a football coach. I'm not a doctor. The medical staff is the medical staff. I coach the team. Medical people handle the injuries. They don't call plays. I don't do surgery. We have a great deal there. Works out good.
New England buries the loss, buries the evidence, puts a wet blanket on the fire. It's Wednesday, and the Steelers are still talking about medical equipment, Big Ben, an ugly loss. I mean, they got rid of Le'Veon Bell, and they thought all the noise would go away. I was told from a source I trust that they got rid of Le'Veon Bell, and the reason was he was too noisy. It's too distracting. Le'Veon left, it's gotten worse. I mean, this is why New England is going to beat Pittsburgh Sunday. This is why. Baltimore Ravens are chasing him. Don't hear a peep. Baltimore's got a quarterback situation. Flacco starts. Now it's Lamar. Flacco's benched. Not a peep. You could argue Baltimore's got a major controversy on their hands. Not a peep. John Harbaugh came out. Yeah, Flacco's on the bench now. Lamar starts. Nothing leaks. Handle it quick. Done. Game up. New England loses. A mess. My fault, my fault, my fault. Story over. Pittsburgh? I mean, God, it's like ER. I mean, it's like one of those medical shows. Football coaches don't talk medical equipment. All right. A lot of stuff today. Nick Wright, Albert Breer, Rob Parker, Steven Jackson, Carson Wentz out for the year. I think it's like Andrew Luck. I think Carson Wentz will be back. I think it'll be amazing. I think the Philadelphia Eagles next year will be favored to win their division. I think it's just, listen, Tom Brady had a lost season. Michael Jordan broke a leg at a lost season. Andrew Luck had a lost season and a half. Carson Wentz has a lost season. It happens. Great players break a leg, get hurt, have a surgery. It's fine. Carson Wentz is great. And they'll be great next year.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
The biggest game of the NFL this weekend feels like to me the Cowboys and the Indianapolis Colts. If Dallas wins, they could potentially secure the number 3 seed over Chicago. What Dallas doesn't want to do in the playoffs is go to New Orleans. Every place else, Dallas is fine. With that defense and that running game and Amari Cooper, Dallas can win everywhere. They're not going to go to New Orleans, especially after they beat the Saints and beat them again. That's what Dallas doesn't want. So this game this weekend between Dallas and the Colts is huge. And the Colts are red hot. And by the way, the Colts are favored. So that tells you the Indy's a real team at home playing great defense, and they have Andrew Luck. So the big story with the Cowboys is fairly obvious. We've talked about this. Dak's going to be a Cowboy. His intangibles are unbelievable, A+. His talent's closer to C+. Sort of the opposite of Cam Newton, you know? Cam's got A+ talent, but his intangibles are C+. He's moody, hot and cold. Anyway, with Dak, Dak's in, okay? Like him or not, Dak's in. Jerry likes him. What do you got to pay him? You don't want to pay him $28 million. Okay, let me show you a chart. The most guaranteed money for quarterbacks in the NFL. Here's the top 16. One leads the division, now barely, Big Ben. Of the top 15 quarterbacks in the NFL, most guaranteed money, none lead their division. Paying the quarterback a ton, it's not where Dallas wants to go. And Cowboy fans had to be throwing up in their mouth a little yesterday when Peter King came on the show and talked about Dak's contract.
Now the question is, do you pay Dak Prescott $29 million a year? And, you know, At some point, Colin, if you're committing to a guy, you got to pay him the market rate for what quarterbacks make. And that seems totally absurd. I get it. But you may have to pay the going rate.
$29 million a year. Again, top 15 paid guaranteed money quarterbacks in the NFL. None lead their division. You got to go to 16 in Big Ben, and he's hanging on by a thread over Baltimore.
You can't blame Dak for expecting that. And he's technically earned it.
Okay, so here's the key. This is a great negotiating ploy. I have seen companies do this. I've been in 12 contract negotiations in my life. So Trent Dilfer and Michael Irvin have both been on my show this week. So Trent Dilfer's theory on what to do with Dak is let's wait. Here it is.
Well, we got another year to figure it out. I would personally internally want to see him do something special on a playoff run. I still think you need to be having conversations with his agent right now saying, if you think you're going to break the bank, you're not going to. We'll start looking into the draft. We'll start looking at different options because we're not going to do what, say, the Vikings did. Because right now, when you overpay for a quarterback, you're affecting 4 to 6 other guys that should be getting rewarded for their efforts, and they're really not.
That's very dangerous. Is Dallas playing well right now? Mm-hmm. Is Dallas going to have a home playoff game? Mm-hmm. Is Dallas going to win another division for the second time in 3 years? Mm-hmm. Is most of this Cowboy team defense getting better, not older? Mm-hmm. Waiting on Dak is not a good bet. Young people who have never made great money, it's very hard for them to pass on it. Rich old guys who have been in a million negotiations, who have $100 million in the bank, nah, I'll wait, bro. But Jerry Jones, remember, Dak still is on his rookie contract for another year, making 700 G's. That's it. Jerry Jones comes to him and says, I'll make you a deal. You want a house that looks like mine, not your condo? I'll give you $23 million today. Or you can wait for a year and maybe get 28. Almost always, young people will take the money now. That's what Michael Irvin suggested 2 days ago on my show.
It's just about, hey, you're the next guy up. You get to be the highest paid. It doesn't matter in any other, like it does in every other position. So now you got to go to Dak before he becomes up and give him somewhere, give him a great number that's good for both sides.
I have watched companies for years go to employees and tantalize them with this. We'll pay you early. Now we won't give you the big number, but how would you like a mansion today and a boat today and a Lambo today? And new suits today, and generational wealth today. Very hard to pass up. Be very careful about waiting on Dak. Because A, Jerry's already made a call. We're keeping him. Jerry's already made that decision. And ask yourself, is that defense for the Cowboys old and getting worse? No, it's young and getting better. Are the Cowboys eroding as a franchise? No, they're growing as a franchise. Is Dak suddenly going to get worse over time? Now, the chances are with more experience, he'll get better. Are pieces over the next 24 months, 12 months leaving? No, Amari Cooper, Zeke, Tyron Smith, Van Der Esch, Jalen Smith, DeMarcus Lawrence, they're all going to be here next year. I think you got to go to Dak early. I think you have to go to him and say, listen. I mean, Dak's admitted, didn't have a perfect life. Pay him 23 now, not 29 in a year. I think that's the negotiating ploy. I really think it. You wait on Dak. Look at this Cowboy team. They're going to host a playoff game. There's a very good chance they're hosting a playoff game. They could be hosting Minnesota. Who do you trust? Kirk Cousins prime time against the Cowboys defense? I'll take Dallas. Aaron Rodgers sneaks in on the road again. I'll take Dallas. The only team I don't like matching up with Dallas is New Orleans there. And if they win this weekend, Chicago's got a tough game against Green Bay. They don't have to go there. I'd just be very careful about waiting to pay Dak.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
And I want to go to Nick Wright on this. Kevin Durant, for the second time in 2 weeks, has taken a shot at LeBron James, called him toxic. Playing with LeBron's toxic. And then yesterday, mentioned all these great players all time and put Kyrie in and not LeBron. So Nick Wright, first things first, via the Cowher Global Satellite Network. Let's just talk about that. I mean, what did you make of Durant's comments? I don't think they're a coincidence, Nick. I think he is deeply bothered that he moved to Golden State, won a bunch of titles, and people still don't put him above LeBron. That's my gut take.
Well, there is obviously and definitely some insecurity factor as far as what more do you want me to do? I won the finals. I won the finals with a jump shot over LeBron. I won the finals the next year with a jump shot in the exact same place. But as you just said, just objectively speaking, he's not better. People who know basketball know he's not better. But I also think, listen, saying Kobe's one of the two greatest players of all time is an absurdity. Kobe's, as great as he was, not one of the two best players of his era. That's LeBron and Duncan, but that's neither here nor there. But about a year ago, Kevin Durant, on one of his mini podcasts with Bill Simmons, talked about the different way that he and LeBron go about their offseason preparation. And he said something I thought was really telling. He said, LeBron works on his body. I work on my game. As if he didn't see that LeBron was working on his body in order to prolong how long he can play the game. Because the guys he mentioned are guys that I understand, like whether it's footwork or in Kyrie's case, a raw dribbling skill or touch on a jump shot, they all might have something on LeBron. What LeBron's got on everybody is the body he's put together, which has allowed him to not only get to the rim, but to be uninjured. I don't think that's something from a basketball perspective Durant fully respects,
yeah,
because it is obviously the opposite of what he has. Durant has made the most anyone could ever make with a muscle mass of around what I have, which is a remarkable feat, but it is not comparable to what we see from most other NBA stars.
By the way, there's a rumor today, Kawhi and Kevin Durant to the Clippers. Again, I'll believe Durant's going to leave. I don't think he has the guts to leave Golden State because he would get crushed. And if he goes to L.A. and LeBron gets Anthony Davis and he's on the second best team in L.A., it's a bad look for him. I don't buy this move. Do you buy it?
All right, so I do think, I disagree with you. I think Kevin Durant is going to leave. I think he not only has the guts to leave, I think leaving could it be the only thing to enhance his standing in the league. But the only thing, if he leaves, I believe he can't do or would be crazy to do is enter into another situation where we don't know who the best player is. So that means he's already in one of only a handful of situations he could be in where a teammate is arguably better in Steph. So he can't go to the Lakers, and that also means he can't team up with Kawhi, Giannis, Anthony Davis, LeBron. That's it. So if it's about winning championships, obviously he should stay in Golden State. If it's about proving he can do it on his own, then come to New York, get one other all-star but not superstar and see what you can do. But going to the Clippers to play alongside another guy that a lot of people think is better than him, if you're going to do that, just stay in Golden State. I don't understand. It's the same thing why I don't buy Klay Thompson to the Lakers. If you want to, the only reason Klay would leave the Lakers is if he wants to see what it's like with him being the best guy. So why would he go to a place, another place, where he's not going to be the best guy?
Yeah.
I know the Clippers have the salary cap space and want to do it. I don't know why KD would do it.
You know, I talked some Dak, and I think I've come to this conclusion that Dak's the opposite of Cam. Dak's intangibles and leadership are as good as anybody in this league. A+. Talent, C+. Cam's talent is an A+. But his intangibles, week to week, half to half, gets moody, never had back-to-back winning seasons. I have people inside that building who have told me for years, he's a lot. You're dealing with a lot with Cam off the field and drama and personality. And my takeaway is this. Jerry said he wants Dak. So you're going to have to pay Dak. Pay him now a year early and get a discount. But if you sit and wait on Dak and hope he struggles and the Cowboys erode, I think Dallas is going to keep getting better. All their best players are young. Amari Cooper, Vander Esch, Jalen Smith. I think you're better off going in, paying him early, getting a little discount, but I think you disagree.
Well, listen, Colin, if I'm trying to sell you a Honda Accord, which is a great, reliable, wonderful car, for $86,000, and you come home to the wife and you say, listen, got the new car, Honda Accord, got it on a discount, $82,000. She's still pissed. Like, and so you can talk discount, but here's the reality. and it's never been more crystal clear than it is right now. Who are the teams that can win a Super Bowl? Every single one of them is in one of these two buckets. Super duper star all-time quarterback, or quarterback on a rookie contract with an awesome team around him. The team that's in the second bucket, the Chiefs, the Bears, the Rams, the Cowboys, the Texans. In the first bucket, the Patriots, the Chargers. Like, those are the buckets. And if what you don't want to be in is in the bucket, the Lions, the Raiders, the Vikings, the, it would go down the list. I think Washington was in before the injury, like, where you've got average-ish quarterback paid like a superstar, you're finished in that way. There is no path from there to a championship. Dak Prescott is somewhere between the 13th at best and the 22nd at worst quarterback. The moment you pay him, you're screwed. You can't pay this guy. There is no example of winning when you pay a guy of that caliber like he's not. So what would I do with Dak? Jerry wanted to draft Johnny Manziel once upon a time. People talked him off the ledge. Dak's got one more year at 700 grand. Make him play it out. Then you know what? If you want, franchise tag him. Put the non-exclusive tag on him. See if anyone wants to give up two first-round picks for Dak. Spoiler alert, they don't. And in the meantime, draft your next guy. Because, like, and Colin, I think there's, like, Pat Mahomes, I'll pay him. Carson Wentz, assuming he can be healthy, I'll pay him. Mitch Trubisky, your guy Sam Darnold, unless those guys show drastic growth, if you can't win during their rookie contract, you better start preparing for the next guy, because if you've got an average quarterback and you pay him like he's not, you're finished. It costs you four other players you could have. There's no way to recover from it.
That's a pretty convincing argument. I'm not going to lie. That was a very convincing. I'm not saying
Can I tell you real quick?
Yeah.
I call it, it's the Matt Ryan line. Ask yourself this. Is this quarterback better than Matt Ryan?
No.
If he is, you can pay him a lot. If he's not, you got to walk away. Like, Cam and Matt Ryan are right on the line, but we've seen when they were at their very best, you can win with them. But Kirk Cousins is beneath the line. Alex Smith, Blake Bortles, Derek Carr, Matt Stafford, beneath the line. Phillip Rivers, Big Ben, Aaron Rodgers, above the line. If they're above the Matt Ryan line, pay them. If they're beneath the Matt Ryan line, you got to have the stomach to walk away.
Good stuff, buddy. Nick Wright, First Things First. Love having you on. Thanks, bud.
What's up, everybody? John Middlecoff from the 3 and Out podcast, brought to you by Colin Cowherd's Podcast Network. If you like Colin's show, you will like mine. I talk all football. Coming up on this week's show, Kirk Cousins, is he good or not? Brady, Mahomes, Amari thriving, Reggie McKenzie fired. There is a lot going on in the NFL world, and we talk it all. Again, the 3 and Out podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast, with me, John Middlecoff.
I tell my kids this all the time. Life is about reaction, not action. People are usually all in on action. What do I say? What? No, life's about reaction. Even great actors have bad movies. Do you burn bridges? Rip your agent? Rip the studio? Denzel's had bad movies. Tom Hanks had bad movies. Everybody gets dumped. Do you become a stalker? Cuckoo, cuckoo. Or do you just move on? A lot of people get fired. Do you burn bridges? Remember when Tony Romo lost his job to Dak? Remember how well Tony Romo reacted? It's why CBS said, with no experience, we're going to put you next to Jim Nance. Here's $5 million large a year. Be the analyst for the next 15 years in the NFL. It wasn't his actions, because he didn't win the playoff games. It was his reaction that looked dignified and classy as the quarterback of the Cowboys above the fray. Dak Prescott, his actions, he doesn't throw as well as Cam. His reactions, way better than Cam. We too often judge quarterbacks on just their arm and just their running and just judge them on their reactions. The national anthem controversy in Dallas, it started bubbling up. And what did Dak Prescott do? Dak Prescott said, I'm going to put my hand in my heart. I love America and stand next to my owner. Oh, and Twitter was outraged, as it often is. And Dak said, I'm going to double down. I'm going to put my hand in my heart and I love America. And I'm going to stand up here and represent America and the Cowboys. He didn't buckle. Yes, his action was one thing, but his reaction, everybody's scared of Twitter, not Dak. The Dez Bryant mess, his reaction was great. Zeke Elliott controversy, his reaction was great. This past weekend was a classic Dak game. Threw an interception in the second quarter. He threw another in the third. Then he fumbled. He was awful. How did he react to it? Did he go into the tank? Nah. Had his best quarter ever and his best game ever. That's the difference with Dak. We too often judge people on their actions, but life's really about reaction because we're all going to get fired. We're all going to get dumped. We're all going to get replaced. And how do you handle it? Do you become a stalker? Do you burn bridges? Do you fire your agent and yell at your studio? Dak has been one of the great reactors in the NFL. He often plays his best second half after his worst first half. Look at the Cowboys' season. They lost to the Titans. Monday Night Football were awful. Dak's reaction? 5-game winning streak. Cam Newton and the Panthers blown out at Pittsburgh. Their reaction? They haven't won since. Leadership is reaction, not action. Troy Aikman talking about why he likes Dak Prescott.
Bill Parcells talked about it, that it's easy to play quarterback when you're winning, but when you go out there and you throw a couple interceptions and you throw the interception that cost you the game, you know, how do you go in on Monday morning and confront your teammate and handle that situation? And that's when you start to realize what you have in a quarterback. And as a quarterback, I know those are tough Monday morning, but I've said it many, many times. Dak's the last guy that I'd worry about within that organization when it comes to those types of things. He's a terrific guy, and I think the world of him, and I wouldn't hesitate 1 minute in having him continue to be the face of the franchise.
The greatest closer of all time is Mariano Rivera. He blew a Game 7 of the World Series. Came back the following year, and he was better. Brad Lidge was a really, really good closer. He gave up a legendary home run in the playoffs. He went into the emotional tank for years. They had to get him out of town before he rebounded. They were both great pitchers. One's a legend because of reaction, not just his action.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
By the way, there's this story today. The Clippers' bold plan to land Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant. According to the story, that Clipper employees have attended 75% of Toronto Raptor games. They're stalking him. They're hovering around Kawhi Leonard going to games. Clippers officials. And the other story is that Kevin Durant is kind of a wanderer and he would go down there. Can I just say this about Kevin Durant? Kevin Durant needs Golden State more than Golden State needs Kevin Durant. They want a title without him. And if he leaves, they'll just put Boogie Cousins in. And then Klay and Steph and Draymond and Boogie Cousins will still be the favorite to win the championship and still would. Kevin Durant, there's a saying in life, don't try to get happier than happy. That's my saying. Once you're happy, don't try to get happier. You'll screw it up. Kevin Durant is totally protected at Golden State. He doesn't have to be the leader, Steph is. He doesn't have to be the tough guy, Draymond is. He doesn't have to be the glue guy, Steph and Klay are. He can just make big shots in big games, collect hardware, and then go home and hang out watching Twitter and Instagram for 5 hours a day. That's an easy life. Just hit shots. By the way, I've seen Kevin Durant before Golden State. They called him, remember what they called him? Mr. Unreliable. That was the headline in Oklahoma City that freaked him out and ticked him off. That you couldn't depend on him. There's a reason that newspaper did it. He was Mr. Unreliable. Well, if he goes to the Clippers, he'll become Mr. Irrelevant. LeBron, Anthony Davis, Lakers, I live in this town. That will be the story. And Golden State will still be good. And Boston will be getting better. So, you know, this idea that Kevin Durant's in the perfect place. He doesn't have to be the leader, doesn't have to be the tough guy, doesn't have to be the glue guy, doesn't have to be the quasi-coach like LeBron's had to be. He just go out and hit big shots and collect hardware and hang out on Instagram all day and do podcasts. That's as good as it gets for him. That's a good life for him. Don't overthink the room, KD.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Rob Parker, sports columnist, Detroit News, Daily News in New York, teaches sports commentary at USC. He's the Herd Show instigator. All right, so Kevin Durant comes out, second time in 2 weeks. First, he called LeBron toxic, and now he mentioned yesterday in a podcast, he talked about all the great players of all time, Kobe, Michael, and he mentions Kyrie, but not LeBron James. You know that Kevin Durant's mad that he went to Golden State. He thought winning titles would elevate him above LeBron, and it hasn't happened.
No, it hasn't happened, but I love this. First of all, they're peers. He shouldn't be, falling over crazy for LeBron or be a fanboy of LeBron James, because he's ultimately trying to be better than LeBron during the LeBron era, and he has a chance at it. Colin, if they win the next two championships, right? He'll have four, won four in a row, beating LeBron a couple times, and then beating the Lakers, or you know what I mean, in the LeBron era. This all will make Kevin Durant the better guy, and people ultimately will look at his career and say, this guy beat LeBron in his own game.
So you like him. You don't think it shows insecurity?
No, I mean, we already know Kevin Durant is the Masseuse. I told you this before. Most sensitive of all time. He is.
Yeah.
He should be. This guy should be living the life and traveling Europe and having fun. He's worried about what people think. You can't, when you're this good, knowing the nature of social media and all this stuff, you can't be worried about it. You just won back-to-back finals MVPs, right, and won two championships. What could somebody say to you?
I don't think he'll ever leave because I think he has the perfect situation. Then again, I never thought LeBron would leave Miami because of Bosh, Wade, Battier, Riley, Ray Allen, Mickey Arison, the owner. But you never thought the Miami thing was a success for LeBron and Wade.
Not at all. I mean, this whole thing that they had where it was Dwayne Wade and LeBron, oh, it was their last game and all this. It was like revisionist history. That situation in Miami where he, not two, not three, not four, remember that? About all the championships? Was a failure in Miami. Yes, Joy Taylor, it was a failure. LeBron and Bosh and Wade, they only really almost only won one championship if it wasn't for Ray Allen.
Oh, I missed the column for the almost won the championship.
Yeah, what column's that in?
You know the one I'm talking about where Ray Allen saved his bacon, where he made that big three-pointer?
Everybody in Miami. After that?
Everybody in Miami was out of the stadium. Don't you remember? They were outside banging on the window trying to get back in.
It was like 30 people, and they had a game 7 after that.
Yeah, they had another game, Rob.
You're
marginalizing it.
No, I'm not marginalizing it. There was no way when you put that team together, did you think they would win 2 out of 4 championships? If you want to be known as something special, it would be at least 3 in a row. They didn't do that. They did not get the 3 in a row.
I don't think failure is a fair word. Did they achieve Shaq Kobe level? No. Michael Jordan Warriors? No. But I think getting to the finals 4 straight times and winning 2, I don't think that could be deemed as failure.
When you put together those 3 players who were all in the same draft, stars, demolished the competition in the Eastern Conference, opened the door for yourself to win, and you didn't accomplish that, you did nothing special. Winning 2 championships is nothing special, Colin. You told me that they won and won all 4 or won 3 out of 4, maybe I would buy into it. What they had set up, and don't forget, LeBron talked about it, winning all these championships in a row, and he even said, I'm not kidding, I'm serious about it. They really thought that they were going to run the table, and they lost to Dallas, which was a terrible loss in the finals.
LeBron's worst series ever, yes.
No doubt about it. And then to only win 2 out of 4.
Well, they did get rolled by San Antonio in the fourth year in the finals. That was not a competitive finals.
Not at all.
They got rolled. Okay, I want to go back to this. Dak Prescott. You know, Tony Romo, and I love Tony Romo, he's a great broadcaster, by the way, is kind of legendary. We all know he's not Aikman.
He just got to let Jim Nance breathe a little bit.
Please. A little bit more.
Right. Okay. Am I right?
Yeah.
That's it. He'll learn that.
Aikman's the greatest Cowboy quarterback ever. Staubach is inches behind him. And Tony Romo's way up there. But my takeaway is Dak will be number 3 because he is going to inherit the best running back Tony Romo didn't. The best defense, Tony Romo didn't. He's inheriting better stuff than Romo, and I think eventually Dak will surpass Romo in Cowboy lore. Do you?
I'm not buying it. I just cannot believe where we are a month ago, Troy Aikman said the Cowboys need to be blown up, and this was a complete mess. Nobody was talking about giving Dak Prescott $28, $30 million to be a quarterback. And I'm not all the way in. I have not bought all the way in because I think this thing could turn the other way. I'll tell you right now, if he was available right now on the open market, very few, if any, would want Dak Prescott or to sign him. I don't believe he's that guy that you would be like, oh, wait a minute, we can replace our quarterback and get Dak Prescott? There's still a lot of flaws there. You mean, were you convinced when they beat the Saints and the Cowboys scored no points in the second half of a 13-10 win? Is that when you were convinced that Dak Prescott is that guy? Come on, Colin. This is prisoner of the moment. I'm not taking anything away. They've won the five games. He's played better, no doubt about it. But this thing could turn over and go the other way very, very quickly.
Here's what's interesting. So I talked to a Vegas sharp this morning, somebody I deeply trust in Vegas, who doesn't work here, doesn't work at my old place.
Right.
He said Vegas is begging you to bet the Cowboys this weekend. Go look at the line, -2.5. Colts are favored. They are begging you to bet. They're begging the country to bet Dallas. What does that tell you?
Right.
Colts are winning the game.
No doubt about it.
So to your point, if they lose to the Colts this weekend, are we all like, oh my God, what was I thinking about Dak Prescott?
And that's all I'm saying. It's going to take a lot more for me to be convinced. I mean, the Cowboys, if I'm the Cowboys, I wait one more year, and I don't care. I want him to prove to me
really
that he is really that guy. Yes, you probably could get him a little cheaper now, but be careful, because when you rush into it, there's no turning back. And if this guy goes back to the guy he was a year ago or even earlier this season, where people were talking about 200 yards, a game manager, do you remember all the stuff?
Yeah.
That was this year. That wasn't 4 years ago. So I know things have turned around.
Is it fair to say this, though? His intangibles are great. During the anthem, he said, I'm going to put my hand on my heart and stand. And when he got pushed back on Twitter, he doubled down and said, I don't care. The Dez Bryant mess rises. Zeke mess legally rises. Couldn't I argue, though, a big part of this sport is intangibles. He is an A-plus at intangibles.
That's fine. But I've also seen the bad Dak who can't throw the ball consistently down the field, who Troy Aikman a month ago said, this is no good. I mean, seriously, I'm not picking on Troy. I'm just saying everybody saw that. We all saw it, didn't we, when they were struggling and how bad it was. And I'm saying, has he played better? Yes. But am I convinced that this is the guy? I bet you if Jerry Jones could do it all over again and could have made the change for Tony Romo, I bet you he would. And he wouldn't admit it now because things are rolling and they got a chance to win the division and make the playoffs and all that. But if he could do it all over again, he would take Tony Romo 9 out of 10 times over Dak Prescott.
By the way, Brady and Belichick, according to a story this morning, are getting along again.
You know I'm not buying that at all.
Why?
Because Belichick will never live it down that the owner picked the 40-year-old quarterback over the coach. It's never happened. You want me to name all the quarterbacks who got sent packing, you know, in their career?
Montana.
Brett Favre. Montana won 4 Super Bowls, got sent packing. Joe Namath played for the Rams. I could go on and on and on. Peyton Manning, they put out in Indianapolis, right?
Yeah.
This is what happens. But in this case, Belichick got picked over by the quarterback. And I think that he'll always feel burned by the owner that he picked Tom Brady.
Yeah, it's the first time ever. Good point. It's the first time ever they chose the quarterback over the coach when the quarterback was 40.
Yes.
I never thought about that.
It's never happened. And that's why I'm saying Belichick won't get over it.
Good seeing you.
As always.
Instigator.
Joy, you still like me?
Howard,
I'm questioning your judgment.
Okay.